Roseanne Barr's recent tweet calling former White House senior advisor Valerie Jarrett the child of an ape is just the latest example of so-called dehumanizing language. President Trump has been criticized for comparing some immigrants to animals, and the president himself was portrayed as a pig on the cover of New York Magazine. And that has some people concerned about the state of communication and whether dehumanizing language is being used aggressively as a way to insult others and reduce their value. To talk about it, I'm joined by Allison Skinner. She's a postdoctoral scholar at Northwestern University and wrote about the topic recently at theconversation.com. Allison, how demeaning is this kind of language, and are we seeing and hearing more of it?
I think that it seems like at this particular moment, there's been a number of outstanding examples. So I'm not sure if sort of at a cultural level, if we're moving in the direction of having more of it, but we're certainly seeing a number of examples, and I think that paying attention to that is important, and sort of we don't want this to be a trend where it's becoming more and more common and also acceptable and sort of tolerated.
What do you think would make it seem that way? I mean, does that, when we hear the president saying that, people have expressed concern about that, that typically presidents speak in less inflammatory language than that. Do you think it does set a bad example generally?
I do. I think that when we have a president or people sort of in that position of getting that level of attention within the country, but also globally, and they're using dehumanized language to refer to anyone, but also to huge sort of like swaths of the population, large groups of people, that can be particularly problematic because that can be picked up by other people and become sort of the public way that we think about certain groups and populations, and could lead to some really concerning outcomes in terms of the way people are treated.
What is the motivation of the person who's using that kind of language?
I don't know that I would say it's always motivated. I think that certainly there are instances in which, and I won't speak to, you know, who is motivated and who's not, but I think that certainly there are instances in which people really are trying to undercut other people's humanity. They're trying to make them seem sort of less human and make people be less concerned about mistreating them, and that you deliberately want to dehumanize them, and that's the motivation. But I also think that there is some sort of natural tendency that we do this with people that we don't like, with people that we despise, and that those are sort of natural things that have occurred throughout history and across cultural contexts. So I think that can happen without motivation. And perhaps sometimes these are things that just sort of slip out of our mouths and we don't realize that we're doing them. Certainly it can also be motivated with sort of a goal of undercutting someone else's humanity. And I think regardless of the motivation, it could have the same sort of effects on other people who are exposed to that.
And if one were to move down that track, is it almost in a sense of losing your empathy gene to some extent? The more you use this kind of language, you're relating less to the other person because you're making them less of a person.
Yeah. So I think that for anyone that we are treating in that way or speaking about, thinking about in that way, yes, we are moving in the direction of when we're dehumanizing people, we are thinking far less about their thoughts and feelings and their experiences. And it allows us to feel much more comfortable with abusing them, with taking away their human rights. All those sorts of things that we grant to other human beings, it makes us feel a lot more comfortable denying other people those if we've dehumanized them first.
It seems that the social media gets blamed for most things that go wrong in our society at this point. How much has social media contributed to this ability for people, you know, the case of Roseanne or others or the president, to just sort of throw off things and maybe not even necessarily think about the consequences that they might affect people based on what they're writing in 140 characters?
Right. Well, I can sort of speculate about that because I do think that oftentimes, as I was saying, particularly in the case where maybe these are not intentional things that we are deliberately trying to undercut someone's humanity, but a thought pops into our head, we're feeling frustrated and angry, or we think we've come up with something kind of funny, and we don't have to, write it up and send it off to print and get it published or something like that, that we can just hop on the internet and type it up. And 30 seconds after you had the thought, it's already been distributed out to millions of people. I think that that does probably, it must contribute to just sort of ideas that we might think twice about putting out into the world, that we don't have sort of a filter to prevent that, because it's so easy to distribute messages so widely so quickly.
Well, does that increase the risk then of it becoming normalized, I guess, if people look on their Twitter feed or look at Facebook and they're more likely to see these things, whereas you're less likely to hear this in normal conversation, let's say, or even in an email, perhaps?
Right. And I think that that is the case. I think that people seem to have even just over the last year or so become a lot more tolerant of the types of things that are put out on Twitter, that they'll say, oh, well, it's just Twitter. Like, we know that people just shoot their mouths off on Twitter and say whatever comes into their mind. It's not a big deal. I feel like there was a second part of your question that I just lost.
Well, really just sort of the normalizing of it. If we see more of this on Twitter or Facebook, does it make it seem okay? Like, oh, well, this is not what I would normally do in conversation, but so what? I'm just sending this out, big deal.
Yeah, yes. I think that's true. And I think that there's an additional sort of component that we see with online behavior when you're interacting with people, but it's not face-to-face. So you do not have to see their facial expressions when you say something really awful to them, that you don't have to sort of follow through with that interaction and actually engage with someone, when you can sort of just send something out into the internet as sort of like an anonymous person, even if it's attributed to you and everyone knows you're the one who said it. When it's not face to face, people are willing to say things that are much more sort of inflammatory than what they would say in person.
Allison Skinner is a postdoctoral scholar at Northwestern University. We've been talking about so-called dehumanizing language.